This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
The Bible. Well, it's a book that's been misused in so many different ways. And over the years, there has been a variety of different movements proving this and ending very badly. And yes, unfortunately, innocent people are victimized by these sordid, sleazy, and deluded sick people. So many of them, over the years, have misappropriated and maliciously twisted Jesus Christ's words, even when those words are written in red. How can this be, you ask? Yet regardless, many remain as followers. Well, how does that happen? Today's program will investigate just how some of this is done right before your eyes. So stay with us for another edition of the Armor of God.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Tony Bukert.
Well, hello once again, friends, and welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. And before I get into today's main message, what I'd like to do is I'd like to just pause for just a second and consider what I have here before me. God's Holy Scriptures, you know, the Bible. In the Bible, there is contained God's message for mankind, the history of mankind, who man is in relationship to God, what his plan is for us, what is this all about? The answers to what this life is all about are contained right here from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. Our God is revealed, his will is revealed through his Holy Scriptures and serves as our instruction book or our guidebook for good and proper living as we do our best to try to live up to God's expectations that he has for us. Have you ever considered just what a miracle it is that we have God's Word in front of us, that we are directly connected to our Heavenly Father and our Savior because the prophets of old, Jesus Christ and his disciples, recorded the words of Christ in red, and we have his words right here before us for our consideration. What a miracle it is, these scriptures that we have, all 66 books, all the canonized books. It was written over three different continents, tens of different writers. You know, you can get this Bible, the Holy Scriptures, in virtually any translation in any language in the world that you want to right now. They come in different translations, but you know what? There really is no perfect or holy translation. They're all good for our salvation. You look at all this stuff and you consider how these books have withstood the test of time and how it has thwarted off all the critics, all the naysayers, and it comes down to us in history. Over a 1,500-year time span, these books were collected and written and canonized for our admonition, for our correction. You get the impression that God loves us and he's preserved his word for our understanding and for our good living. It is unfortunate, however, that when you consider some of the teachings that are going on out there in regard to Christianity, that there are unfortunately some false teachers out there not calling their credibility or trying to align any kind of their motivation to this, but there are a lot of bad teachings out there. So how can we ensure ourselves that we don't succumb to some of these false teachings? Now, before I get into the main question that I'd like to ask you today, there is a biblical principle that I want to draw your attention to, or maybe even remind you of this if you haven't considered it for some time. It's found over here in the book of Isaiah in chapter 28. Because remember, one thing we always like to say, and we're honest about that, we don't want you to believe us. You know, don't believe us. Believe your Bible. Follow what your Bible says, because we could be making an honest mistake. You know, you have to validate what we're saying. You have to cross-reference what we're saying. In other words, look it up for yourselves. See if we're telling you the truth or not. But Here's the principle that will ensure us, will go a long way to keeping us from falling into false teachings. It's found here in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 9 through 13. Whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand this message? Those just weaned from milk? Those just drawn from the breasts? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, that they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was to them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and caught. Well, before I get into the main question I want to ask you today, let me bring your attention to some items that we want to make available to you today. We do have, for your availability, a booklet that is entitled, Are Christians Under the Law? Because there's a lot of misgivings about what the expectations are for Christians or whether or not we should be observing God's Ten Commandments. And this booklet will go a long way to answering any of the questions you might have regarding to our responsibility with God's law, what we should be doing. In addition to that, we have a CD that we want to make available to you today. It's entitled, Beware of False Teachings. Because unfortunately, as you'll see, especially when it comes to the letters in red written by Jesus or recorded the words of Jesus Christ, the ones in red, there are a lot of twisting that goes on and misrepresentation about what Jesus really taught. So why don't you reach out to us today and get these items. Simply just pick up your phone and dial 888-578-8791. Again, that's 888-578-8791. Or if you'd prefer, go to our website at cgi.org. Again, that's the World Wide Web at cgi.org. Or maybe something I say today might prompt a question in your mind. Just hit us up at info@cgi.org. Again, that's info@cgi.org. We also want to make available to your attention here the fact that we have a weekly webcast on every Saturday. You can go to that and watch that every Saturday, but you want to make sure you go and check out the times that you have that for your availability to view. Now, getting back to the topic, we're talking about false teachings. And we read the book of Isaiah here, just a few short verses, 9 through 13, the biblical principle that helps us to ensure that we won't fall prey to some of the false teachings, because you can't just take one line out of the scriptures and you just can't just use that to formulate your doctrine. The Bible tells us, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit from God, that line upon line we have to study. You got to take a little bit here, you have to take a little bit there, and you have to come together with this cohesive and this collaborative body of work that leads us to the truth. You can't just take one man's word for one line. And unfortunately, you know, when it comes to Christ, when it comes to our Savior, the one of which our faith is named after, Christianity, you know, the letters in red that were recorded for us, oftentimes and unfortunately, whether it's by omission because he didn't say certain things specifically, or whether people take things too literally that he said, you know, his words get misconstrued. They get twisted. And it does lead a lot of people astray as far as when we're trying to do our best to live up to God's expectations. We want to make sure we're doing that right, but there are a lot of people out there that just twist his words. You know, there's a lot of misgivings and misunderstandings about what Jesus Christ actually taught. Now, this is going to bring me into my question. I want to spend a little bit of time on this because this is something that I don't think I got fully either when I was asked this question. So let me just get to the question here. When you think of Christ's ministry, and specifically when you think about the letters in red, because those are the letters in red represent the words that he spoke during his ministry, recorded for us. So it's easy for us to find out who it was speaking because they're in red. They're Christ's words. When he walked this earth and he had this earthly ministry, just think about for a second. Just ask yourself the question, what was the topic that Jesus spoke about the most? It's a very, very thought-provoking question, and certainly there's a lot of things that are coming to our mind right now regarding what he talked about the most. Now, here's what most people answer, and I think I had some of these answers myself, but here's what most people think about when they think about Jesus Christ and the words or the topic or the underlying theme that he gave us. Now, to my mind, and to a lot of your minds, I think naturally what we think about is the first message that was preached by Jesus after he came out of the waters of baptism. Do you remember what it was? Repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So he spoke a lot about the kingdom of God. He talked a lot about repentance. He talked a lot about this kingdom that would come upon this earth in which he would be the king over. So, yeah, he did talk about that. But when you ask people this, here's what they most often come up with. They come up with the theme of Jesus' ministry was one of love. Of course, he did talk about love quite a bit, didn't he? He talked about charity. He talked about agape. He talked about being concerned with your fellow man. He talked about treating your fellow man as if you would want to be treated. You know, there's a lot of good words in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 that if we could replicate in our lives, boy, we would be living a pretty good life if we did Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And he did talk about love. He talked about good deeds. He talked about mercy and faith. Some people think that he talked about acceptance and tolerance, unity and peace. And a lot of people think that he talked mainly about Christian living, and that seems to be a big line of theology nowadays, this thing called health and prosperity. But you might be surprised, as I was, very surprised about what he mainly spoke about in his ministry. I was shocked because I thought I knew it. But when you consider what he really taught, or the main theme, it is thought-provoking and eye-opening and sobering, if you will. It's important because our assumptions regarding what he taught formulate our philosophies, and it helps to dictate our walk with Christ. It does. It goes a long way to helping us walk with him the way that we think we should, because we think that we're adhering to the things that he says. It's a very important component to that. There's a minister, and I don't remember the name of his church right offhand, but his name is Stephen J. Cole, and he's out of Texas. But he was quite surprised that when he had heard two very prominent mainstream Christian ministers, you might remember these names, Jerry Falwell. You know, all know Jerry Falwell. He's a well-known face of visible Christianity. He's well-respected, a well-known man. And then you also got Dr. Billy Graham. Who doesn't know about Dr. Billy Graham? I mean, he's been around for ages, and everybody knows who he is, and their teachings are well known. But, you know, these two individuals honorably, you know what they did? They said that, and they acknowledged that the words that Christ spoke, the themes that they based their ministry off of, love, charity, and sometimes even love or law done away with, they said they were wrong about that. They admitted that they had spent a lot of time preaching about the things they thought Jesus was most often teaching about, and they came to the conclusion that they were wrong. I think that's honorable that when people admit that they're wrong, when they know they're wrong. But, you know, Stephen J. Cole, he didn't stop there with just reading these articles about Falwell and the other ministers that had come to this conclusion. Now, see, there's a lot of titles that Stephen J. Cole falls under, so I'm not going to list all of them. But suffice it to say that he's a theological instructor as well. So what he did was he challenged his class. He challenged his theological students, and he asked them the same question that I'm asking you today. What was the topic that Jesus spoke about the most? You know what they came back with? They came back with, he talked about love, he talked about peace, he talked about charity, he talked about Christian living, he talked about law being done away. All these things that we're talking about today, these students came back after they broke into groups after a week, and they came back with the same answers that we have, that we've come up with oftentimes in our lives. But you know what? That's not the right answer. It really isn't. And I want to give you the answer here right now, because I want to end the suspense for you, if you will, and bring your attention to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And like I was telling you, I was a little bit surprised myself, because Jesus did inculcate a lot of the components of what we just talked about: love, charity, good deeds. All these things were components of his ministry. So I'm not saying they weren't a part of it. I'm not saying that. They're all good lessons. They're all good teachings that we can live by, but that's not the main theme that he talked about. Now here's what he talked about here. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. Here it is. Here's the answer. This is what we've been waiting for. Beware of false prophets. In the theological studies that have been done, and all the breakout groups and the work groups these theological students have done, fell right in line with Billy Graham, Pastor Falwell. The main theme of Jesus' message was, don't be duped. Do not take heed to false prophets. Beware of false prophets, because he continues here. He says, they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs and from thistle? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Now, when it comes to the specific topic of one of these items that were brought up by some of these theological studies that were done, law done away, I think it's important that we recognize and turn to the words in red that Jesus actually spoke about the law, because the misnomer is that Jesus came to do away with the law. But did he say that? Did he really teach that he came to do away with the law? Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 5. And you might be surprised at what Jesus really said about this topic of the law. Now, right before we get into Matthew 5, chapter 17, you'll see that Matthew chapter 5, we come to the Beatitudes, wonderful ways to live our lives. We go into Matthew 5, 6, and 7, some very God-ordained biblical perspectives and principles of how we can live a godly life. But I'm talking about the specifics of what people say that Jesus said that, quite frankly, he did not say, that leads us to some misunderstandings about our responsibility in our walk with Christ, namely that of which surrounds the issue of the law's relationship to sin and how our approach is to the law. Is it of any value to us, and did it have any value to Christ? And if so, we ought to consider that. Breaking in here in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 17 here, we'll just read down. He says, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets, period. There's our predicate right there. It seems to be pretty straightforward and easy to understand. What he's saying here is very easy. He says, do not even think that I've came to destroy the law or the prophets. It's pretty clear. But the problem comes in, or the challenge comes in, with the next part of his statement. He says, I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. So the misgiving here is, or the false teaching is what Jesus was saying, and I'm just going to paraphrase here. He's saying, look, as some of the false teachings will say, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. So if I come to fulfill the law, then you're no longer obligated to keep the law because I fulfilled it for you. But is that really what the scriptures are saying here? No, you know what the word fulfill means? Really, and it is basically breaking it down to its rudimentary principles, it really means to magnify or to fill it up in the sense to its fullest measure so that we can understand it better. You see, after these short verses of scriptures here that people say he did away with the law, he follows up with another revolutionary statement that serves as an example for what we're talking about today. He says, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, we're not talking about salvation through works here. No, we're talking about the fact that salvation is gifted to us. But are there responsibilities and expectations from God that we have? Well, obviously, yes. You can't just do what you want to do in life. I mean, who in their right mind would think that murder or stealing, bearing false witness, all these things, who would think in their right mind that those things are okay to do? So that's counterintuitive to the way we think, is when we think about righteous living and righteous works. But, you know, a lot of people use the letters in red and they'll twist them. And they'll give us perceptions that Christ allowed for certain things that he quite frankly doesn't. I heard one lady minister on TV one time. She asked the question. She posed it to her audience. She said, what did Jesus say about homosexuality? And she just folded her hands and she stood there. What was the impression that she was trying to give? That since he didn't specifically say it, that it's okay. But you have to understand who Jesus Christ was, who he is. Do you realize Hebrews chapter 1, the book of Colossians chapter 2, John chapter 1, all reveal to us who Jesus is, that he was in fact the God of the Old Testament who gave Moses the law, who spoke through the burning bush. See, people forget that. I've even heard people justify adulterous relationships because Jesus said, whoever looks upon another woman has already committed adultery in his heart. So you know what they say? I might as well do it because I'm already guilty. That's not what he had in mind, though. That's not what he had in mind. You see, in Luke chapter 4, in Matthew chapter 4, through the first three or four verses there, you'll find that Jesus said that man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Not just a few, but by every word. So you can't just take a few of them and make a doctrine out of them, or say that things are okay to do without considering line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Furthermore, Jesus, as he continues down through his discourse of beware of false prophets and some other things that he said all too well in other parts of the red letters that you keep the commandments of men and you basically ignore the commandments of God, making them of none effect in your life. So he's saying the traditions that man have, that they assume are predicated on biblical wisdom, he's saying that really aren't from the Bible, that you're using your own traditions. You're inserting your own ideas, and it was really never supposed to be that way anyways. We have Jesus who was the lawgiver. We have Jesus who, in fact, is the Messiah. He lived a godly life. He did all these things for us, but he didn't fulfill the law in the sense that we have no obligation to keep it. No, friends, there is still an obligation for us to observe God's Ten Commandments, because when you consider what they teach us, you know, the first four against idolatry, the last six teach us how not to be covetous. You know, what they really do is they teach us and they instruct us of how, number one, the first four teaches how we ought to approach and revere our God, how we ought to worship Him, putting Him first in our lives. And the last six, all related to how we relate to our fellow man. We have a responsibility to God to worship Him the way that He wants to be worshiped. We have a responsibility to our fellow man. So to say that the law has been done away with, it just simply makes no sense. Especially when you consider all of the words that Jesus said in red. You know, Jesus also validated the Old Testament law in his words. They said that he recognized the scriptures as the law and the prophets and the Psalms. Well, friends, I'm going to turn this over to my colleague now for some closing remarks, but until next time, you keep on that armor, and I'll keep on mine. We'll see you on the armor of God next time.
Wow, what a program Tony had for us today, and the warning that he gave us, very appropriate, very timely, especially in this day of fake news when you and I are surrounded by so much information coming from so many directions and being spun in so many ways that I suppose it shouldn't really be any surprise to any of us that the Bible itself would be included in this kind of spinning. And a lot of this is able to be done by virtue of the fact that oftentimes people do not place a lot of credibility on the Old Testament. And sadly, by virtue of using Jesus' red-lettered words to try and attempt to marginalize the Old Testament, well, my friends, that's just disingenuous at best and frankly somewhat hideously deceptive at worst, especially when you begin to understand the kind of agendas that drive some of these attempts to misdirect people's understanding. Let me remind you, the Old Testament was quoted just short of 700 times in the New Testament. And let me bring to your attention, the New Testament was never quoted in the New Testament. That's right. The writers of the New Testament did not quote one another. Why? Because it didn't exist. Which goes to illustrate the value. The Old Testament is priceless in its value to that early New Testament church because it was the Bible of that early New Testament church. As a matter of fact, Jesus had some warnings as well for us today in Matthew chapter 7. I want to bring your attention to this because it substantiates, the very warning that Tony gave us. Here in chapter 7, Jesus says in verse 22, "Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name? Haven't we cast out demons in your name? Haven't we done many wonderful works?" Look what Jesus is going to say in verse 23. Look what he says. He says this, "And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." My friends, won't you let us help you to better understand why it's so important to look to the Word of God as your basis of understanding? Dial now, 888-578-8791, and hit us on that website at www.cgi.org. Ask for both of these free offers, Our Christians Under the Law and Beware of False Teachings, 1 hour presentation by Tony Bucher himself. My friends, this is Bill Watson reminding you always, as we often do, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.